morning. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 123 are Jeff Swearingen.
Good evening.
Jason Mitz.
Good evening, everybody.
And Todd Bro.
Hi there.
Now, we don't talk rumors very often here on the Diz Dads podcast, but tonight we're going to catch up on some current Disney rumors and make a little game out of it. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time you're planning a vacation to any Disney destination, Disneyland, Disney World, Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise Line, heck, even Disneyland Paris, just check out Fairy Tale Journeys at fairytalejourneys.com, and one of their agents would be happy to help you plan that trip. So tonight we're going to dig into rumors a little bit, and in order to kind of keep things interesting, we're going to play a game of over-under with it. I'll throw out a proposition, and I'll ask you each to give your immediate reaction whether the correct answer to my proposition is over or under, more or less than what I've put forward. Once we've all gotten responses in, then we'll talk about each one of these a little bit more. It'll make more sense when we start playing the game, so why don't we dive right in? And I'm going to start off with a nice general topic. Okay, guys, full rollout of My Magic Plus and Magic Bands over or under January 2014. Todd Bro, you're up first.
I'll say over.
Jeff?
Under.
And Jason?
Over.
All right, so Jeff, you're the only one who said under. Why is it under?
I've been following a lot of reports on Twitter. There are still a lot of bugs to be worked out with the system. I just don't think they're going to get in the position they need to at the time to have this going in January. I just don't see it happening.
Okay. And how about you, Todd? What's your take?
I kind of feel the same way. I guess maybe I misunderstood the question. But I think it's going to be – it is not going to be in line for January of 2014. I think it's going to be probably not till next summer that it's completely rolled out.
Okay. And Jason, is that the consensus? Just I confuse people with the way I phrased my over-under?
I don't think they'll have it ready. So maybe I just jumped on the over-under bandwagon on the wrong seat right here.
So everybody thinks it's going to take longer than January 2014 for them to roll this thing out.
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be the contradictory voice then. I'm going to say that this project is going to be rolled out in full by December 15th, 2013. And I think it's going to be rolled out in full by December 2013 because they can't afford for it not to be. It's a PR disaster for them if they can't get this rolled out before 2014. They already blew an entire year's advertising campaign with this limited time magic thing, because what limited time magic really was the response to, we didn't have enough time to come up with a marketing campaign when we figured out that My Magic Plus wasn't ready. So I just don't think they can go into another year without this thing going live. And I think most of these problems are mostly scaling problems and scalability issues that if they have to, they can just throw hardware at. So I'll be the naysayer and say that they'll get this thing done before January 2014. Next rumor to talk about, let's head over to Animal Kingdom. And a rumor that sort of hit the message boards hard and fast all at once, rumors of the Rivers of Light nighttime show at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Over under a 30% chance that a nighttime show debuts at Animal Kingdom by 2016. 30% chance. Over or under, Jason Mitz?
Over.
Jeff Swearingen?
Under.
Todd Bro?
I'll say over.
All right, so Jeff, you're the under again. You think that we're going to get a Rivers of Light show less than 30% chance that it comes out by that we get something like that by 2016?
2016, they're going to be rolling out Avatar, and I think that's where all their money is going to be going into. It would be almost counterproductive for them to launch such a major land at the same time they would launch a light show. Disney usually works where they have a new attraction every year, at least that's what they would hope. And I can't see them launching both of these at the same time without totally revamping the park, and they don't have the budget for that.
Okay. Now, Jason, why do you think there's a better than 30% chance that this happens?
Because I'm an idiot and didn't understand the over-under part of that again. Man, there's no way they're going to have that ready to go with Avatar Land when they're working on that. They need an excuse. If they're going to have a nighttime extravaganza of any kind or light show or anything, they're going to have a reason to be open. And, you know, because that park traditionally closes fairly early. So if Avatar Land is being built and it's or not completed or, you know, and that's a whole other can of worms in itself, I don't see. I think there is less than a 30% chance.
Okay. How about you, Todd?
Well, I guess I'll be contradictory in that, and I'll say that I think they will. I think that once that the new Fantasyland and the Mine Train in Magic Kingdom is done, they're going to go full bore on Avatar Land, and I think they're going to kind of do what Universal is doing and do put it on the fast track. I know they've still got other things going, and we may discuss this later, Downtown Disney and Disney Springs, but I think they're going to fast track Avatar Land after this. You know, I don't know what information they're getting from James Cameron, because I know he had pushed back his movies, and I think that's kind of why they're dragging their feet. But I think that that whole Avatar Land and the light, you know, the water parade or the whatever they're going to call it is going to kind of come together at the same time.
See, Todd, I'm with you on this, and the reason I am is I think that the Rivers of Light show has a decent chance of actually going live before Avatar Land. And the reason I think it has a chance of going live before Avatar Land is exactly what you were just saying, which is James Cameron. I am still a little bit stunned that Disney is continuing to go forward with a project partnered with James Cameron. The guy is notoriously slow and a perfectionist and wants things exactly the way he wants things. I don't see how working closely with James Cameron and as closely as they appear to be committed to working with him, that they're going to have an Avatar Land ready to go by 2016. And I don't think they can afford not to have something new in Animal Kingdom by then. So I think if nothing else, a nighttime show there is a safety net so that they can at least show that they're making some progress with Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. I think so. And then also with them moving the Festival of the Lion King building, they're actually showing some progress, you know, and then once that's completely moved and that's back up and running, then they'll have all the room they need to start leveling everything and putting in Avatar Land.
Well, yeah, I mean, that Disney's doing everything in their power. My concern is that I just don't see how the next phase, which requires Cameron's involvement, getting done. Because Disney's just not going to do that on their own. From everything I'm seeing, it's there's enough creative control, being left to Cameron on this project, that I just don't see how Disney can proceed with it by themselves the way they can a light show that, like I said, gives them something they have control over that they can open by 2016.
Yep.
I don't – the way I feel about it is if they would have purchased the Lucas stuff earlier, this Avatar thing would have seemed more – or the whole dealing with Cameron would have seemed more like a preemptive so that Universal didn't pick up the property or the licensing. I think they would be more than happy. Disney would be more than happy to shelve all of this at this point and move forward with Indiana Jones or Star Wars than to deal with James Cameron.
All right, does anybody else have anything they want to add to the Rivers of Light discussion here? Okay. I didn't come up with an over-under question for Avatar, because frankly, I don't know what the question is at this point. So maybe if we can make one up here on the fly, let's just do a quick, and I'm going to make it hard for you, over under a 25% chance that Disney and James Cameron have a blow up and the whole project dies. Jason Mitz. More or less than 25% chance that this ends in divorce.
More. Way more, and it's going to cost Disney a ton.
All right, Jeff.
More.
And Todd.
I'll say over. I'll say more as well.
All right, so everybody's along with me and thinks there's a decent chance that this whole thing is still going to blow up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, now, like Jason just said, you know, they would be stupid. They have Star Wars in-house now. It's something they have the full catalog to. They have the full rights and control of all the intellectual property. They can run as fast and as furious as they want in that. And I guess we'll probably maybe discuss that a little bit later on probably.
All right, well, that's actually a nice little segue to moving on to our discussion of over-under and rumors for Hollywood studios. A lot of rumors that have been floating around for several months, at least, about a Hollywood Studios expansion, fueled by all kinds of, you know, everything from random fan, you know, banter to the way that some executives have been reassigned, people with certain experience in managing expansions in other places, now having important roles at Hollywood Studios. So let's look at some of those and start with looking at the heavily rumored Star Wars land. And more or less, over under, 50% chance that a Star Wars land opens in Hollywood Studios by 2015. It's a short timeline. More or less than a 50% chance. Todd?
I'll say over. I'll say more.
Okay, so it's more likely than 50% that it will open.
Yes.
Okay. More likely than. Jason?
Less.
Jeff?
Less.
Okay. Todd, why is it more than 50% chance that we'll have a Star Wars land by 2015?
Again, kind of, I guess what we were saying earlier, and kind of the same thing as I was saying about Avatar Land, I think they're going to fast track this. The new movies are coming out for 2015, so I think they're going to want to have at least something. Maybe they won't have the whole land, but they may at least be, you know, 50% complete. They might have one or two of the rumored attractions open, maybe, you know. And then we can also get into all that, you know, what they have decided or what the rumors are that, you know, there's going to be a new restaurant or if there's going to be a new speeder bike ride or who knows exactly what. I think there'll be something open at least.
All right. How about you, Jeff?
I could see an announcement in 2015, but I think more likely 2016 or 2017 for the land. Disney doesn't move that fast with building attractions anymore. I mean, we've seen the pace that New Fantasyland has taken. They aren't going to have anything ready to start putting into the ground by 2015. Not going to happen.
Okay. And how about you? Anything you want to add to that, Jason?
I just think that with the new movies coming out, there's a potential that they could possibly have an announcement next year, like Jeff said. But I don't think it's physically possible for them to get something built in time for premieres or, you know, I just don't see Disney jumping into something like they would, let's say, if they had had the rights for Episode One, you know, and they build like Jar Jar Land, you know, or something like this. You know, it's just not how they operate, I guess.
Right. I think I tend to agree. I think that I'm along the line. I think along the lines of what Jeff was thinking, that, you know, we may get an announcement in 2015, and if we do, I think it'll be an announcement sometime in, you know, maybe late May of 2015, after the first of the new films comes out, after they see whether it makes franchise money for them, because this is a much more cautious Disney company than you know, we might have seen a couple of decades ago. This isn't Eisner's Disney that gets out in front. And after, you know, having disastrous franchise launch film, or, you know, attempts to launch franchises with films like John Carter and Lone Ranger, you know, I think the chances of Star Wars succeeding are much, much better. But I don't think they're going to be announcing a new land in tandem with these new films until they get a sense that the films can carry that kind of weight and be worth the investment.
Maybe just wishful thinking on my part.
Hey, over under 70% that they announce something at a Star Wars weekends, though.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting thought. So, all right, so let's ask that one. So, over under 75% chance that something one way or another is announced at Star Wars Weekends 2015. Jason.
Oh, you go ahead and take this one, Aaron.
Oh, you want me to answer it first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think there's a better than 75% chance that there's some announcement at Star Wars Weekend 2015. I think that the timing is too tempting to pass up. And the questions are going to get asked anyway, so they might as well answer the question. How about you, Jeff?
I think they'd be more likely to announce it at Expo 2015. Star Wars Weekends, I don't think they have enough media there to make an announcement.
Well, but let's remember, we're talking about Star Wars Weekends 2015 will occur within 2 weeks of, 2 or 3 weeks of the of new films opening. So it may be a little different in terms of media than it has been up until then.
If they had something like a D23 event around the same time, I could see it happening. But just for a general park crowd, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, there's also Star Wars Celebration also happening that same year in 2015. So
that I could see also.
I think it would be announced probably at Star Wars Celebration.
That makes sense because 2015 Star Wars Celebration is in Anaheim.
Yep.
So that I could definitely see that. Good point. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, continuing along this vein. Another Star Wars Land question. I think that all of us have a sense that, you know, assuming the movies, the new movie performs, that eventually we're going to get some kind of Star Wars Land. So assuming it happens, over, under, 3 new attractions. And that includes, I'm going to include, you know, restaurant in there, assuming it's well-themed. So over, under, 3 new attractions for a Star Wars Land in Hollywood Studios. Jeff.
Over.
Jason.
Over.
Todd.
I'll say over as well.
All right, so everybody agrees over 3 attractions. I'm tempted to call this a push. I'm made a little nervous by some of the rumors I hear and by the pace at which the Disney company seems to be willing to spend money in Florida. Because, you know, I understand that the building costs around Hollywood Studios are expected to be a little higher than they are in the Magic Kingdom area. There are more issues with substrate and all of that. So I'm nervous that we're going to get, because we've already, remember that even if we get Star Wars Land, we've already got Star Tours. So that's already one. So if they give us 2 more rides in a restaurant, that's 3. I don't know, Jeff, justify for me more than 3 new attractions.
I'm seeing they would bring in the speeder bike attraction that's been rumored for ages, the most likely in Cantina, some sort of meet and greet, because if they don't have some sort of meet and greet in Star Wars Land, there's no point in even doing it. And probably something for the little kids other than Jedi Academy, something new. I don't know what that other young attraction's going to be, if it's the Ewok kiddie coaster or, but they're going to have something for the younger kids other than Jedi Academy, and that's what I'm saying.
All right, that's a good argument. I mean, I think, you know, the X-Wing spinner ride is what I keep hearing.
I had heard that.
I don't know, Jason, Todd, anything either you want to add?
I think you know, I guess like you were saying, since Star Tours, you wouldn't count that as something new, but would you consider, because I heard rumors that they were going to move the Jedi Academy inside, I think, where Sounds Dangerous is and that sort of thing. But I guess, again, you wouldn't consider that something new. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I can see arguing that a proper theater for Jedi Training Academy might be a new-ish attraction. You know, but you're not really adding anything new there. You're just kind of relocating. I don't know. I think it's going to be close. But I see Jeff's point that there's got to be something in there for younger kids, especially if one of the casualties of an expansion is the playground. Which, you know, I guess I've heard it rumored both ways that the playground could be one of the victims of the expansion.
Yeah, the playground, and then, of course, there's other rumors that the whole Echo Lake area itself, that the lake would be going away and Dinosaur Gertie would be going away. And then there's also rumors, you know, that they would keep those areas and then maybe even Muppets would be removed. And, you know, I'm hoping that's not the case. I definitely like Muppets.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so... one last Hollywood Studios expansion rumor that keeps, you know, it's the rumor that won't die, and that is the possibilities of Cars Land or some version of Cars Land coming to Hollywood Studios. So let's just say over under 50% chance that at least some elements of Cars Land open in Disney's Hollywood Studios. Let's call it by 2018. So down the road, probably a step past what we were talking about with Star Wars Land. More or less than a 50% chance, Todd.
I'll say more than 50% chance.
Okay. And Jason?
Less than a 50% chance.
Jeff?
More than a 50% chance.
Why less?
There's only so much room, if they do expand with the Star Wars land, it sounds to me like they were expanding into the same area that the rumored Cars expansion would have been. And Disney has such a I've noticed that they would want to keep. If you want to go to Disney World, don't expect Disneyland attractions. And if you want to go to Cars Land, you're going to have to go to Disneyland. I just think that's the way they're going to go.
All right. And Jeff, why do you disagree?
What I've been hearing is that Cars Land would go back where the backlot tour is. And I'm not seeing that you would see the entire Cars Land, partly because the weight of the rock backdrop would require them to dig so deep into the ground that I don't think Disney's going to pay the construction costs. What I do see is maybe doing part of Cars Land, maybe a mini Cars Land, or just some elements, but I don't see Radiation Springs Racers in its entirety coming out here.
Well, and see, there's the big question, because if you're not going to build Radiator Springs Racers, what are you going to build? I mean, the flying saucer, right? The Luigi's Tires. I mean, from everything I hear, the folks at operations at Disneyland would be thrilled to just get rid of that.
Oh, it's terrible. Slow loading, and halfway through the ride, you finally learn how to operate those tires. So I don't see that going anywhere anytime soon.
Okay, so if it's not going to be that, it's not going to be Radiator Springs Racers, then all we've got left is sort of a kiddie whip ride in the Mater Jamboree. I guess I'm wondering why bother.
Well, I could see them doing maybe the dark ride portion of Radiator Springs, but the entirety, we've already got Test Track, and that's the same technology.
True.
They could also add flows, you know, in another dining location, because maybe in conjunction with the Radiator Springs area, the Star Wars area would bring in a lot more crowds, and if they would need like a sit down place and a sit down restaurant, they could always add the flows in that area, and maybe that's what they're thinking.
Which would make sense, because if they do expand Star Wars into Echo Lake, we're going to be losing 50s primetime.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they can handle a net loss of dining overall in Hollywood studios if they're building new attractions intended to pump up crowds, because, you know, dining tends to be one of the bottlenecks of Hollywood studios anyway. So they will need to find something that they can do there. And that, you know, we still haven't gotten to the dealing with the travesty that is Pizza Planet, but, you know, maybe we won't.
Maybe that's just wishful thinking. I've never actually been in there.
Don't. Just don't.
I pass by it every time when I go to the Muppets, but never been in. So
every time I go in, I want to take an aspirin.
Princess Leia's character dining. Princess Leia character dining solves all your problems. Boom. Hollywood Studios is now the Mecca.
All right. So let's move on from Hollywood Studios, and let's take a look at a couple of issues in Epcot that have been in the rumor mill lately. The first is rumors of a new film for Soarin'. Now, the source of these rumors, the reason for these rumors is that it's sort of a rumor on top of rumor, right? The first rumor is that there is a Soarin'-type attraction being built for Shanghai Disneyland. And that the film for that ride will be very different from the Soarin' Over California film that we have at Walt Disney World that was originally created for California Adventure. So my question is, over under 2018 for a new Soarin' film. Now, just to be clear, if you say under 2018, you think we're going to get a new film sooner. Over 2018, we won't get a new film by 2018, and that might mean we're not going to get a new film at all. But over under a new Soarin' film by 2018, Jeff.
Under.
Todd.
I'll say under.
Okay, and Jason.
Under.
All right, so everybody thinks we're going to have a new film for Soarin' before 2018. You seemed a little unsure there, Jason.
Well, I think that they'll redo the current one. I think they'll clean it up. I've seen the film in like a high def version, and it's very nice. But I guess I'm just unsure on this one.
Okay. Jeff, you seemed quick to say that they'd have a new film before 2018.
If they're making a film for Shanghai and it means a new attraction for Epcot that doesn't cost them anything extra, why wouldn't they put it in? I mean, that's just easy publicity for them right there.
Okay. Anything you want to add to that, Todd?
Yeah, I'll say exactly kind of what Jeff was saying, though. I think whenever – I'm not quite sure the date when Shanghai is supposed to open, but whichever year that's going to be, I think that – they'll put that in Epcot. I guess the only caveat is they probably would have to upgrade the projector itself. I'm not sure if they would need to do that or not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's likely to be some cost involved just in doing, you know, that screen is in need of a refurb. They probably need a new projector, but I'm inclined to agree. My only question really is, and I'm almost tempted to call this a push. My only question is how quickly they import it. I expect that they'll want to give Shanghai, you know, some period of exclusivity with the new film before they bring it over. Unless, you know, the flip side to that would be that it might be a nice opportunity for them to kind of you know, coordinate some publicity for the new park in Shanghai by debuting the film simultaneously at Shanghai and at Walt Disney World, and suggesting that, you know, this is a taste of what you would find if you were to visit our brand new park in Shanghai.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it'll really probably wouldn't compete too much with the North American parks, because to go somewhere like Shanghai is quite a journey for any, you know, any person in North America to get there. So the fact of the exclusivity, I don't think that's going to come into play. I think they'll come out probably at about the same time.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think the key to the idea of a simultaneous release would be that it would generate, you know, United States and Western press for something that might not get as much Western press as they would hope, since it's a Chinese park. All right, so second Epcot topic, over or under a 25% chance that after the Imagination Pavilion closes this January, it gets a Phineas and Ferb refurb, or a Phineas and refurb. Over or under a 25% chance, Todd?
I'll say over.
And Jason?
Over.
And Jeff?
I hate to say it, but over.
All right, so over 25% chance. And why do you hate to say it, Jeff?
I don't see the longevity of Phineas and Ferb. We had this with Kim Possible before, where the attraction lasted several years past the end of the TV show. And I think we've already hit the peak of the Phineas and Ferb mania to base an entire attraction on it. I can see the business idea behind it because it's going to sell a lot of merchandise, but I think in the long run it's a bad idea.
Okay. What do you think, Todd?
I think they are going to add elements of Phineas and Ferb. They may not theme the whole entire place, but I think they'll add elements of Phineas and Ferb on the ride and inside the pavilion, and they may have an interactive area, like, you know, kind of like they had the Kodak Lab or whatever they used to call the post-show area, where they'll have stuff with Phineas and Ferb and you know, Dr. Doofenshmirtz and Agent P and everything. So I think they will add those guys and those elements to that attraction.
And how about you, Jason?
I think it's just so wildly popular that they're going to add it in just to encourage people to come to the parks. They don't really have anything else unless they went with something with Marvel or something like that for those characters that would spark younger crowd to come to the parks, I guess, or that would be interested in that type of thing.
See, here's my only concern. I think that the chances, I agree. I think that Phineas and Ferb are the obvious candidates for an Imagination Pavilion refurb. And I think that it's well overdue, you know, regardless of what you think of the current attraction. It's just gotten long in the tooth. It's not attracting riders. It's, you know, there is no post-show anymore, really. It's all gone. So it needs something. Here's my question, though. Who's the sponsor? Because I don't think there's any refurb of Imagination unless there's a sponsor behind it. And so that is really, to me, almost more interesting than what the theming is going to be, because I think that the longevity of whatever they do is really going to rely on who that sponsor is. You know, I just don't see Disney spending several million dollars to do a top-to-bottom refurb with one of their own intellectual properties and putting their own money in it. So that's what I'm going to be interested to see.
Well, you could look at it this way, that maybe they want to go out on a limb this time and finance it themselves to have the exclusivity to make changes, to where kind of with Kodak they were kind of stuck and they couldn't make changes unless it was approved by Kodak. In this way, if they do, since Disney owns, you know, Phineas and Ferb, they can kind of do what they want to do with it, you know, but they'd have to pony up their own money, of course.
Yeah, they really don't like to spend their own money, especially not in Epcot.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm still holding out the hope that somebody like Apple will come in and take over that pavilion, but I know that's a complete long shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question. It feels like if that was going to happen, it would have happened while Steve Jobs was still around and in charge. I don't see that being a Tim Cook kind of move, but who knows? I know that they've approached Apple before, and there was some talk about, you know, Apple doing some things in Interventions, but it just never really all came together. Okay, so let's one last Epcot topic, and you know, this is kind of a difficult one, kind of like Imagination. If it wasn't for the fact that Imagination already had a closure on the calendar, that would probably be more controversial. But the other issue, the other longstanding issue at Epcot, is the sort of evergreen rumors of changes coming to the Illuminations show that has been sort of going on forever at Epcot. What is it? It's now over 20 years or almost 20 years of running the same show, roughly the same show. So over under a 50% chance that we get a major change to Illuminations by Epcot's 35th anniversary. They just had their 30th. So over under a 50% chance that there's a new Illumination show in time for Epcot's 35th anniversary. Jeff?
Greater than 50%.
Jason?
Under.
And Todd?
I'll say over, a greater percentage.
Okay, why under?
Corporate sponsorship. I don't know what the ramifications of them changing it, or if they're going to change sponsors or anything like that. But, I mean, it's been a long-standing relationship with, what, is it Cisco? I can't remember the name of the...
Siemens.
Siemens, yes, excuse me, Siemens. So, I mean, I guess that's just how I think about it.
Okay. And, Jeff, you seemed awfully certain.
I wouldn't say awfully certain, but that show's been around since the Millennium Celebration. It's going on... What is it, 13, 14 years now?
Yeah.
The rumors of Skydance have been around for several years, and I don't see them keeping the show another 5 years. I think the 35th would be a perfect time to replace it, and if Siemens and Sylvania are on board, I don't see anything to stop it.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's Sylvania that is the official sponsor for Illuminations. Siemens is the sponsor for Spaceship Earth, which is where they do the laser lights that say Sylvania. all right. So I tend to agree. I mean, I know for a lot of people, Illuminations has become an iconic show, and you know, there's always resistance to change when it's an iconic show like that, but it really is overdue. You know, as much as I love the show, they need to do something about the 7-minute dead spot. And the globe was amazing technology 15 years ago. It's less impressive now, so I think it's due. All right, so I want to close by taking us back over to the Magic Kingdom, and we have that last element of the Fantasyland expansion that's still not opened. It's expected to open in the first quarter of 2014, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and I think that, you know, the rumors about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that I'm wanting us to address really are sort of what this ride really is. We've got some people who you know, trying to convince people that, you know, this is a groundbreaking new attraction that will really help drive crowds to new Fantasyland. We've got other folks, myself included, that, you know, want to kind of keep the expectations under control, remind people, yeah, this isn't Expedition Everest. This is a different kind of attraction. So here's my question. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, over or under a 45-minute average wait time 6 months after opening? Because you know right at opening it's going to get a huge bump. 6 months later, over or under a 45-minute average wait time, Jeff?
I'd say more than likely.
So a tepid over. Todd?
Yeah.
I'll say over as well.
And Jason?
Over.
All right. So Jeff, you seemed unconvinced by your answer there.
Well, I was also unconvinced that The Little Mermaid would keep drawing crowds, and it still is. I think that there's going to be so much of a crowd going in and seeing there's a new attraction in Magic Kingdom, I have to see that, that's going to keep the lines up for at least 6 months. Do I see it lasting beyond a year to 18 months? No. But for the first 6-9 months, sure, we're going to see a crowd over there. Whether it deserves it, we'll have to wait and see. But I see 45 minutes for that period of time shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. And Jason, anything you want to add?
No, I agree with that.
Okay. Todd?
Yeah, definitely I agree with that. It's going to be a lot of different factors, I think, though. You know, it's a different technology as far as the ride cars and whether how they're going to load. So you know, we're uncertain right now how it's going to load, if it's going to be. It's not an Omni mover, so it's not constantly, you know, you have a car, they stop, people get out, next people get in, that sort of thing, kind of like Big Thunder is. So I think in that instance, the wait times, kind of like Big Thunder is, I think you're going to have the same type of wait time and the wait for the lines. For this new ride, I think it's going to be definitely over, you know, staying over 45 minutes for a long period of time.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you have to remember, too, is that the location in the park helps. You know, there when Seven Dwarfs Mine Train opens and those construction walls come down, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is in that sweet spot right beyond the castle where Dumbo used to be. And, you know, Double Dumbo and Fastpass has a lot to do with the massive drop in wait times at Dumbo. But another significant piece of that is that Dumbo used to be located in sort of the red hot spot in the park, because it's right through the castle. There's a natural flow to that location in the park. And I think that that crowd is going to maintain, if only because the ride is located in that sweet spot. And it's an everybody can ride it attraction, or at least pretty close to everybody can ride it attraction. I'm sure there will be a height limit because, you know, it's got roller coaster elements and they'll have to put a height limit on it. But I don't expect it to be a particularly tall one. And, you know, I think that it's going to play a lot into the reason that it stays popular and it stays a nice long wait, because it's you know, going to attract a natural crowd in addition to the people who seek out that particular ride. Well, you know, you've heard our take on a range of rumors around the Walt Disney World theme parks. We'd love to hear from you and love to get your thoughts on it. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Jeff Swearingen.
Good night.
Jason Mitz.
Good night, everybody.
And Todd Bro.
May the Force be with you. Always.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.